Hey everyone, John Greenwald here with theblackvault.com. Today I recorded an interview with Tony Bugaglia. You'll remember him from not too long ago, making the claims about how the Pentagon admitted to having UFO debris and that they sent him the test results through the Freedom of Information Act. Well, viewers of this channel will know, I didn't think his interpretation was accurate at all, and I felt it was way more sensationalism. So I explained that in a video posted just weeks ago. As you can imagine, that didn't go over too well with Tony. So after he continued to release additional information, but I felt it was still not accurate, I invited him on the show for a friendly and respectful discussion. I have respect for anyone who will step into the vault, even if we don't agree. So we did the interview. As you can also likely expect, at times it got a little bit heated. Stay tuned. You're about to journey inside the Black Vault. That's right, everybody. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and making this your podcast or your live stream of choice. I'm your host, John Greenwald Jr., founder and creator of theblackvault.com, and you'll notice that today's show is just a little bit different. Now, my guest, Tony Bugaglia, you've heard about him on this channel before. I talked a little bit about the headlines that he has come out with, and I extended an invitation, and to his credit, despite our respectful disagreement with each other, he accepted, and here he is via telephone. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to speak to all of us.
Hi, John. I appreciate the opportunity to do that and to have the opportunity to talk about the FOIA and to help to clarify anything that folks have questions about.
Well, very good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And again, thank you for your time to do it. Now, before we get into the FOIA and to get into everything, you did choose not to do this via video, and you had said that you're okay to address that. Would you like to tell everybody why you prefer not to be seen? Because I couldn't even get a picture of you
just to kind of show everybody. The nature of my work really prevents me from having my image broadcast widely. And so I've elected to instead simply do audio. And in fact, before very recently, I've never even had my voice over the air. But I'm, I think, obligated to, because of the nature of this story, come forward in a way that's a little more direct than I have been in the past. So I'm here to talk, but not to show my face.
Fair enough. Well, I at least wanted to give everyone a chance to hear that side of it. Now, before we get into the story that you're really here to talk about, which is the UFO debris and the documents that you received, can you give everybody a little bit of background about how you got into UFO research? Because this isn't your first entry into it. You've been around for quite some time. Let everybody know a little bit about your background in UFOs and why you got started in it.
Sure. Well, like many people, John, it began with a personal sighting when I was a preteen living in the New York City metropolitan area where I grew up. And I had observed a craft at about age 12 or 13, a cigar-shaped craft, which was actually near Rye, New York, in Westchester County, and had seen what could not possibly be a plane or a vehicle from this planet. Even at that very young age, I knew that. And so, like many preteens, I got involved in the UFO magazines of the time and began reading the literature and became immersed in it to the point where I also began filing FOIA requests at a very young age. So you and I have that in common. And it isn't a vocation, though. My real vocation is in executive search. I find CEOs and CFOs and COOs for major companies throughout the country, and in fact, some of my work is done in the defense and intelligence sectors. And so it's kind of interesting how these my professional life and my avocation have kind of blended together in many ways.
Very good. And let me ask, just with your experience and your many years, you have me beat. We were talking before the show by a couple of years, and kudos to you. It's always exciting to hear somebody who utilizes the FOIA. But on top of that, starting at such a young age, you said that you had started at 13, which I did.
Yeah. I filed a FOIA request asking for information on something I had heard about from a neighbor. And it was a agency called the National Reconnaissance Office, or NRO. And keep in mind, this is in the mid-70s, when the NRO was not acknowledged as an agency.
Mm-hmm.
It so happens that one of my neighbor's fathers worked for the NRO, and I had to find out what reconnaissance meant and how to spell it, even. I put in a FOIA request asking for information on the National Reconnaissance Organization, or NRO. I remember the FOIA completely. In fact, it's on my website. I retained it all of these decades. They denied that such an office existed. Back in the mid-70s, through FOIA, which I don't have a lot of faith in, John, FOIA request basically told me that the response, rather, to my request was that such an office did not exist, that there was no NRO. Of course, today we know that there is, and that they lied to us.
Great story about the NRO, with them existing for so long. It really does go to show you that not only will the government lie about all of this stuff, but have things funded and fully operational for decades, and the general public doesn't even know. But
that's
a whole different show in itself. But
it
so,
surely is.
So
I live here in Florida, and I could tell you about some retirees who have worked at the NSA that have told me things you couldn't believe. A lady who is a neighbor who has since passed worked for the NSA, and for 30 years could not tell her own family that mm-hmm. she worked for them. She said that they worked, used a different name entirely, I forget what it was, wherever the mountain is that they put the NSA in, that's where she went. And she never even told her own husband
wow.
that she had worked for the NSA for decades, until they acknowledged the existence of the agency.
Yeah, secrecy is such an amazing thing when you start getting into those types of details that not many people would even know about or think about, that that's what they have to do and the lengths they have to go. But let me ask you, just to kind of set the stage here, about your personal beliefs, and I don't know the answer to this question. With your experience of having the sighting that you did and the years of research that you've had, the people that you've met, the things that you've seen, are you 100% convinced that this phenomena is truly an alien phenomena, extraterrestrial?
Well, it's not an easy question to answer, because certainly there are classified research that is terrestrial, very terrestrial,
mm-hmm.
that might appear extraterrestrial to those that aren't aware of that kind of research. And I'm in a unique position to understand that, in that I find the folks that design many of the aircraft that won't be seen for 20 or 30 years from now, John. And in fact, the way in which I recruit in that area is another story. And I think it dovetails into the FOIA thing very nicely. But I happen to believe that there is an alien presence, but I am not prepared to say it's extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial. There is something that is not from here that comes here.
Okay, good. And I appreciate you kind of setting that stage, just so we get an idea of where you're coming from. Now, let's get into your recent headlines here that you have written. And that brings you and I together here on this show, but also with some conversations elsewhere on the internet and so on. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I wanted to bring you on, just to kind of get away from that social media drama and mm-hmm. And bring you aboard and kind of get your side. Now, can you summarize your FOIA request and what you got, and ultimately what you believe?
I'll try to do that for you.
Yes, please.
And for your listeners, back in 2017, I made a FOIA request to the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, asking for physical descriptions and properties and composition of UFO or UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon material, that was held by the government and by its contractor, Bigelow Aerospace. And I became aware of this because, as you know, John, about 2017, late 2017, the New York Times Leslie Keene had an article that talked about a previously covert UFO study program called AATIP. And buried within the article was a mention of anomalous debris being held at Bigelow Aerospace in Las Vegas, Nevada, and that there had been specialized, rather modified facilities that were to contain this material. I couldn't really understand why folks weren't talking about that more, so I filed a FOIA requesting the debris test results. And the FOIA that I, the FOIA request was very specific, and it requested test information on physical debris recovered by personnel of the Department of Defense as residue or flotsam or shot off material or crashed material from UAPs or from UFOs. And the documentation that I requested was very specific and only mentioned UFOs, UAPs, debris, and Bigelow Aerospace. At no time whatsoever was the word weapons, weaponry, advanced weapons, weapons programs ever mentioned within the FOIA request. So it related only to UFOs, only to crash debris, only to Bigelow Aerospace testing that debris. It probably was one, and I'm sure you'd agree, one of the most specific FOIA requests written. It was clear, unambiguous.
Yeah, and let me jump in, Tony.
And it was responded to in kind.
And let me, and I don't mean to step on you, because I want you to finish that.
No, you're not.
But for those listening and watching, do you mind if I read your item list?
FOIA?
Yeah, I've got your FOIA.
Anything on there you can read.
Yep, no problem. I want to make sure everybody, we're all on the same page. So this is Tony's original FOIA request. I'm flashing it on screen for those that are watching as you were talking. And I want to go through the, because you're right, it was very detailed and nothing wrong about it when it comes to the structure of the FOIA. So that's not where I'm going with any of this, but I want to read what you wrote. So Tony requested the following. Number one, physical description of all held material. Number two, source of origin of all held material. Number three, circumstance and method of obtainment of all held material, i.e. flotsam residue, shot off material, crash material. Number four, custodian U.S. government agency of all held material. Number five, the title and authors of all technical and analytical reports conducted on all held material. Number six, names of private contractors to the U.S. government engaged in the storage and study of all held material. Number seven, test results on UAP recovered material to include physical properties, chemical and elemental composition of material, and determination of the material as of terrestrial or extraterrestrial origin. Thank you for bearing with me on that, Tony, because I want to make sure that we're as clear as possible. So let me pass it back to you. So you said that they responded in kind to your FOIA request.
They did, and they understood that it only referred to UFOs, UAP, Bigelow, debris. All those key words were in the FOIA official that responded, Steve Tomiski, who heads up FOIA for the DIA, was the one that responded to my request, and he attached 151 pages of technical papers in response to that request.
Right. So that leads us then to the headline that you had written, that the Pentagon had admitted to UFO debris and release the test results. Now, when I had contacted the Pentagon, and I know you didn't like their statement, and I don't blame you, but I know you didn't like their statement, they had told me that the FOIA request was amended. So I had gone back to you, and to your credit, you had sent me the back and forth between you and the DIA. Now, for those in the audience, amendments on FOIAs are very, very common. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, it's actually encouraged. You get things sometimes quicker. So, you know, none of that is out of the ordinary. What it amended to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, was that it seems like from the emails that there were telephone conversations and then a follow-up of confirmation from the DIA.
Absolutely, and I can speak to that very directly.
Please.
Stephen Tomiski, who is the Chief's Records Management and Information Services Officer for the DIA, and I had several phone conversations which are alluded to in the emails, which are included in the articles that I have online. And Stephen was very clear that I was referring to UFOs and UAPs. I told Stephen that I didn't want to play games, that if he was going to send me material from the AATIP, but it really was with another program similarly named as AAWSA, help me there, John.
AUSAP, yeah, Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Applications
Program. Those kind of games wouldn't be tolerated, that he understands completely what I'm referring to, that the program has gone under different names, that I am referring to UFO material. Stephen Tominski, to me, specifically said he understood the request and that he would get the material I seek.
Right. So here would be my only friendly...
So he was not under any... At no time did the DIA ever mention to me the word weapon or weaponry. So I don't know where this is coming from.
Well...
At all.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I think that, as you know, John... They are one and the same.
Sure.
I think that we're actually
if you're talking about
as well as to extraterrestrial materials research. And this is what has made it so very difficult to penetrate the many layers of this whole issue. I'm not saying that it doesn't have to do with weaponry. In fact, wouldn't that be the very first place that you would look to place this material? Would be for military applications.
Sure.
I mean, it's very simple. The Wright brothers, when they created the airplane, 10 years later, we had guns on them. We were using them in warfare. So it's there's a history of this.
Yeah. I mean, the program name when it comes to AUSAP, and this has been a gripe of mine for quite some time on the government side of their naming mechanisms, in that it depends on who you listen to on whether or not AUSAP and ATIP were the same. You have those that have claimed to work on, or that worked on it, excuse me. We know that Dr. Hal Puthoff worked on it through Bigelow Aerospace. He said ATIP was a nickname. Mr. Luis Elizondo, who says that he headed the program, said that they were two separate programs. According to the Pentagon, you have story number three, which is AUSAP was an offshoot of ATIP, and AUSAP was the contracted out. So, again, this is so confusing.
Which is why I was so very direct, because of precisely what you just said. I didn't want to play games with acronyms or program names. He full well knew what I was referring to. There's no doubt. In fact, I'll bet this man is in a lot of hot water. I'm sure you'd agree. In fact, in his response to me, refers to UAP material. He refers to Bigelow Aerospace. John, I talked to the man directly,
yeah.
And I referred to it in the emails that are included in the articles that I've written. There is no doubt whatsoever that Steve Tominski understood my request thoroughly to mean unidentified flying objects or unidentified aerial phenomena, that I was referring to debris from those, and I was referring to debris that was stored at Bigelow.
Right.
He understood it completely. There was no ambiguity whatsoever, and I'm perplexed at the whole thing, because if I asked you for a turkey dinner and you gave me a hot dog, that's not what I asked for.
And, what if it was a turkey hot dog?
For them to come back and say, well, this has to do with weapons, not with UFOs, is ridiculous. It's outrageous.
Well, let me jump in, I don't think I'm going to convince you on this, but at least if you could indulge me for a moment.
Absolutely.
Where I think the confusion comes from is item number five on your original request. And that is the titles and authors of all technical and analytical reports conducted on all held material. Now, hold on. Bear with me here. When you do a multi-list FOIA like this, there's nothing wrong with that. You did everything right. I'm not saying that you did anything wrong. However, those lists are, in a legal sense, or, not and, meaning It doesn't have to apply to numbers 1,
oh,
2.
Oh, geez, John, come on. I know where you're going with I've that. I've got ridiculous. This man knew fully well what I was referring to.
Okay, just now bear with me. Now, you said that it's in his letter. But if you read, and here's the letter, I've got it here, and again, in the interest of accuracy, let me just read that one part, because you're right on what he said. This was the official response to you. This response to your Freedom of Information Act request, dated December 27, 2017, that you submitted to the Defense Intelligence Agency for information, for information concerning requesting all information on test results from the UAP material from Bigelow Aerospace. Now, if that sounds weird to everybody, it's because it is, and I even got tongue-tied reading it. The requesting all information is, in my opinion, a copy and paste. Do you agree with that?
No.
Okay. But that...
No, I do not, John. In fact, that was very perplexing to me. You're talking about a response on a very serious issue, and unless these people have issues with basic reading comprehension... I can't understand how anyone could misunderstand my request. It's so clearly written. There is no ambiguity.
Okay, so...
And I don't understand what you're talking about
sure.
cut and paste whatsoever.
No, I'm happy to explain
John,
that.
And there's some other things I wanted to talk to you about and bring up.
Wait. Before we
here.
Get too far okay. ahead, hold on. You have all the time that you'd like. I'm not trying to cut you off, but I want to make sure we don't get too jumped around here. So just to kind of finalize this thought, because like I said, I don't expect to convince you. But after seeing thousands and thousands of these letters, most of the time they have a summation of a FOIA request, especially multi-item ones, in their not only internal working logs, if they are differed from the FOIA case logs that they will give out. And a lot of times they will summarize a multi 7, 8, 10, 12. I've seen 30 items on a request, not by myself, but in FOIA logs and stuff like that, to where then they just kind of condense it. And in my opinion, when you have the capitalization the way that it is, and the fact that when you talk about grammar and comprehension, it doesn't make sense. And it's like they have a template. I just got a letter the other day. I tweeted it out. It's unrelated to this, but it's my same point, where it said, "Dear XXXXX," that was my FOIA response. Now, that's not my name, obviously, but they use templates. They copy and paste. So let's move beyond that, because, again, I don't expect you to be convinced of it. But
At all.
Which is fine.
I'm the one who actually talked to the man. You see, you didn't. I actually talked to Stephen Tominski. I was as direct with him as I am with you right now.
Okay.
There was no ambiguity whatsoever. He knew exactly what I was referring to. And why in the world would they elect to send to me, in response to my request, 151 pages of highly technical information without understanding that this had to do with UFOs?
Well,
it makes no sense whatsoever.
Let me bring up another...
I really am truly perplexed.
Sure. Well, let me...
And also, John, I must interrupt here and explain to your reader or your listeners that you made it sound like I was not aware that these were unclassified documents. You made it seem to your listeners like I was unaware that these materials were published over a decade ago. But in fact, that isn't true. In my very first article, I talked about that very thing. In fact, I showed a text block with the data on it.
Wait, can I ask you to
I had even said that this material had been published on small websites, including George Knapp's, in the past. So when you started to tell folks that, oh, these were unclassified materials and, oh, these had already been released, well, that really took a lot of the wind out of the sail, didn't it? But it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that this has to do with a response to a request on UFOs. And I made it very clear to everybody that this material had been out there, that it had been unclassified. Yet you made it sound to your viewers like I was trying to pull one over on everybody.
No.
Yes, John, that's the way it came off. Well, in fact, the video that you had is called Nails in the Coffin.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
And that is not a very nice title.
Well, but
in fact, the very day I'm going to tell you something, John. The very day that the Nails in the Coffin video came up, my aunt died of COVID. So the word nails in a coffin and not calling me or contacting me before you put that video on I'd like you to tell listeners why we're doing this now and why you didn't contact me before.
Oh, that's easy.
The first video.
First and foremost, my condolences. I mean, if you think that was some kind of shot on something I didn't even know about.
But in the age of COVID, we don't talk like that right now.
It was pretty clear that it was about a story. But if you took it that way, I mean, I clearly don't know about what happened to your family.
Of course
family
you didn't. And but, we can't assume anything, and I don't use language like that.
Well,
pretty hyperbolic, as you know. But that was really beyond the pale.
Right. But to be honest with you, that was never an intent. But if that's how you took it, then I sincerely apologize.
I appreciate
that, John. But it's pretty, in my opinion, was pretty clear I was referencing nails in the coffin of a story. And we will get to those in a couple minutes because we haven't even talked about them. But I'm happy to address your question to me, and I'll address anyone's that you'd like, on why I did that video without contacting you. You had did, and to your credit, and I even complimented you on this, you had published everything. So there was nothing that I could go after with you, because a phone call is not going to change my mind. And I'm sorry to say that, but I mean, unless you handed me a recording and Stephen Tomolsky from DIA said, yep, that's my voice, then great, we can deal with that. But obviously a phone call is not going to change anything. But it was never stated in your original reporting that you had amended the request. And yes, that actually does change things.
I did not amend the
hold
request.
Hold on, Tony, I let you talk.
That's the whole point. I don't know where you got that either. That's misinformation.
You amended the request.
I never
for
amended
a
the request.
Release.
They
I have the
thought
email.
I had asked for everything about AATIP. And I reminded Stephen that, no, I'm only asking about test results. So don't put me in with all the others. That's what happened.
Yes, so
I don't
hold
know
on.
What you're referring to about amending.
Sure. So here's from DIA to you. This is what you sent to me. This is from Stephen Tomolsky. Please excuse me if there's been a misunderstanding. I had understood and you had confirmed in our last email exchange that you accepted narrowing your scope to, quote, test
results. But I never accepted it. I was the original request, as you know.
Okay. Hold on, Tony.
So that,
I'm trying to read this. If I was paraphrasing, I can understand your frustration, but let me at least tell the viewers and audience what was said. So you had, according to DIA's message to you, accepted narrowing your scope to test results from the UAP material from Bigelow Aerospace under contract.
I have to interrupt you, John. I'd never accepted anything that was the original request.
Well, Tony, if you'll let me keep going here, this is the letter. This is what you sent me. And I'm just trying to give everybody a little bit of background. I will give you all the time in the world that you would like. But if I could just finish what you had sent me, because again, I don't like to paraphrase whenever I have a disagreement with a guest. So I'll say again, according to the email from DIA, you accepted narrowing your scope to test results from UAP material from Bigelow Aerospace under contract to the DOD/Pentagon, your confirmation per the thread below. Now you responded, your email looks like 18 minutes after he sent that, you said, yes, that is the general request. Quote, test results from the UAP material from Bigelow Aerospace under contract to the DOD/Pentagon. However, the specifics of that request were also included in the original 2017
exactly.
request. Stephen, right. Now, now let me paraphrase and correct me if I'm wrong. With all of that said, because I don't want to get into the weeds of reading every single email here, but you had agreed to a rolling release. Is that correct?
I agreed to getting the information I requested.
Correct. So in order for him to...
I don't care how they got it to me, when they got it to me, sooner the better.
Okay. So... Right. So in the legal sense, that's called a rolling release. So, and that's
whatever it's called.
Okay.
And we can talk about it and use different words, but bottom line is the man knew what I was looking for. We're playing around here. You talk about
No, not at all.
It is clear as the nose on my face.
Well, you said that I was using different words and using what I want to call rolling
because
releases
we have
in
the original
email.
Freedom of Information Act request.
I understand that, but it was amended.
It never asked for everything about AATIP. There was never a request for amendment.
I haven't seen where you're referring to that about you asking for everything about ATIP. So that
exactly. And that's what he thought I was. I don't know.
But even from his words. So I'm not sure about that side of it. You didn't send me any of that. And that's okay. I'm not arguing any of that. But what I am trying to go for here is my one last point, if I can get to it, because you said that you published these emails and it's okay for me to ask about them. Let me see here. Where is it? Here it is. This is from Stephen to you. I am not concerned with your statements regarding press or legal actions. I have dealt and will continue to deal with you in good faith, and I hope that you will do so with me. Now, may I ask for clarification, because nowhere did you send me anything where you had talked about a legal action other than what you posted.
Oh, I actually did, though, John.
I sent you the name of two attorneys
that I'm consulting about that very thing.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish that thought. What I was trying to say was not the one that you posted after. I'm talking about when you were communicating with the DIA.
Oh, I see. Let me clarify.
Yes.
John, in the conversation I had with Stephen, I said, Stephen, I'm of means. I'm able to hire the best attorneys in the nation specializing in FOIA.
Okay.
If I'm sensing any kind of delay or distraction or anything like that, I'm prepared to take legal action and have already consulted and interviewed two attorneys in the D.C. area.
Great. So you
because after 3.5 years and then him sending me back a letter of lies that I'm amending and requesting all information on AATIP, which of course is not correct, I felt that I had to push the up button. And if it required legal assistance, I can do it.
Great. Okay. So that's totally fair. So with all of that being said, you were telling him you didn't want to play word games. You were telling him that there's potential legal action. All of that, fine. I'm not harping on you for it. You don't think that he was trying to be transparent, because that number 5 in your FOIA request, which did not mention UAPs or UFOs, but talked about... Hold on, Tony. Hear me out.
Okay. You know what I'm thinking. It's funny.
So number 5, you didn't mention UFOs or UAPs. In a legal sense, it's not and, it's or, meaning it doesn't have to include every item on your list. You, again, stipulated you didn't want these games, that you were upset because he apologized a couple times in these emails.
He sure did.
Which, great. I mean, I don't employ that tactic, but if that worked for you, awesome. But
it did,
but
didn't
do you,
it? And
well,
there you
no.
go, too, John. You
I
and I,
if
approach
I can finish,
in
Tony.
A totally different way.
But
you're
you
an archivist. I'm a journalist.
You need to let me at least finish
I
the thought,
am
Tony.
A little bit more forward and bold than you are. I think you acquiesce to these folks because you want to be an archivist. You want to maintain your relationship as the Black Vault to the government agencies, and therefore you have to be very careful about how you approach these folks and the relationship that you maintain with them. I don't have that obligation or that interest. My interest is only in truth.
Okay, if you're insinuating that my interest is not, then you don't know me
no,
very
no.
well.
I
but
didn't say that.
Now,
I said that my interest is
now
in
that
truth.
You, now
I didn't say that yours wasn't.
Right.
I simply said that I think that you tend to kowtow to these folks and don't want to in any way disrupt your relationship with them by being forward or bold like I am.
What relationship do you think I have? I mean, I've filed over 10,000 requests. I have archived 2.4 million pages. I've tried to do through FOIA appeals and so on and so forth, getting these documents.
I think you're too trusting of these people, John.
Well, I'm not really sure what to tell you with that, because most of the time I'm not even dealing with spokespeople. But on top of that, out of 10,000 requests, I pretty much understand how their templating works. I know how that part of the system works. Why can't you be open to the fact that maybe under threat of a lawsuit and him trying to be a little bit transparent with you so you can't accuse him of playing games, he gave you material that met your requirements of item number 5 on your request. So you have completely shut that down. But why?
I really still, after all this time, I still don't. And sincerely, I don't get what you're talking about.
Well, we can move on.
I don't understand
I'll give you an example. I did a FOIA request to the U.S. Army asking for all UFO material and used some of the keywords like flying saucers and this and that. That was my request. Okay. I sent that in and I received hundreds of pages as a response to a request for UFO information and flying saucers. Okay. That's what I requested. However, in there was the majority of what was in there was schematics from the Nazi Horton brothers and a flying wing design. Now, would it be fair for me, Tony, to say that the Horton brothers design was all UFO or flying saucer in relation to extraterrestrials? Would that be fair?
Oh, I don't know enough about the FOIA request. I'd have to see it, view the replies. I'm not going to comment
on something
that I don't know enough about like that, John.
Well, I sent
all
it
I know
to
is the FOIA that I received, that I requested, and the reply that I received only referred to UFOs, UAPs, and Bigelow and debris. And we really need to hone in on why they would be talking about weaponry. And why would they choose these 151 pages to send to me when they could have sent me anything from anywhere at any time?
Why?
They chose
stipulated
151 OSAP. Pages that relate to exotic materials that can induce invisibility, compress electromagnetic energy, can perform shape memory properties similar to the material found at Roswell, which is an extraordinary coincidence. Why would they send that to me? Of all the things in the world they could send to me, why would they send me 151 pages which were authorized by the DIA's ufologist? And it's an incredible thing. He was both a rocket scientist and the UFO point person for the DIA, David Lekatsky. When I found out that he was the one that was the program manager that authorized all of these 151 pages, I was floored. And I can't believe that you aren't. The very man who authorized the release of these, initiation of these studies and who created these papers is also a UFO point person for the DIA, or was, until he was forced out.
Okay, can I ask you to clarify, because
and folks, by the way, if you want to see that article that
incorrect.
Appears on my website, ufoexplorations.com, you can read all about it, but it kind of closes the circle. The fact is that all of the material that was sent to me was approved by the DIA's UFO point person.
Okay, so let me jump in there, because there's nothing, and I want to ask you to support that with evidence, but the man who actually was in charge of the OSAP program, which in the DIA's eyes, they lumped together OSAP and ATIP, whether they were officially separate programs or not, at this point, it's irrelevant to our conversation. However, Dr. Hal Puthoff was the lead scientist and engineer for Bigelow Aerospace's BAS, and he has gone on the record, and nobody has disputed that it was him that chose the topics of the DIRDs, and it was him that farmed it out. Now, James...
His name does not appear on it. David Lekatsky's does.
It's James Lekatsky.
Interestingly enough, and I want viewers to know
James
the material that I received redacted David Lekatsky's name.
Correct.
Yet it had been out there for many years and in different formats on different websites.
On a leak.
Very curious. I think everyone would agree.
I think you're reading
into that. We find out that, in fact, Lekatsky was kicked out or forced out because of his belief that this was extraterrestrial in origin, and others didn't like the conclusions that he was reaching. He left government service and is now retired and wants nothing to do with anyone.
Right. However, nobody's ever named Lekatsky. So you're referencing Elizondo. Now, here's the deal. I actually probably think...
I'm not referencing anything. It's on the document. The unredacted document uses his name and shows him as the program manager.
Right, on DIA's side.
Isn't that incredible? It's just extraordinary, really.
It can be extraordinary. That's great. But he's not the one that made the DIRDs. And if you want to dispute...
Doesn't matter. He's the program manager. He's the guy whose name appears on all of the documents, John. I don't know about Hal Puthoff. He's got a history which I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I would not trust Hal Puthoff as far as I could throw him.
Well, since we're on Hal, he chimed in as well. And again, I mean, it doesn't sound like you believe
it. I'm not prepared to talk about Hal. I'm prepared to talk about this FOIA.
Well, but Hal was the one that chose the topics of those FOIA.
I don't know anything about him other than he's not a reliable, credible. And many people have big issues with him.
Well, you might want
David
to.
David Lekatsky is the real deal.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. Okay, it's James Lekatsky.
James Lekatsky.
Right. Okay, and may want to look into Dr. Hal Puthoff, because again, it's not disputed that he was the one that chose the topics. The quotes that you're citing,
I don't see his name,
Tony,
on that
you're going to have to let other people talk. I mean,
Where is the material? Where is his name on the material?
You're
making things up. I don't see his name on this material.
I'll show it to you. He authored multiple dirds.
Oh, he authored somebody, but the program manager was Lukatsky.
I don't care about the DIA side. I'm talking about what Bass created. And I think that this goes into the bigger confusion on what Bass did in the private sector for their contract. Was Lukatsky involved? Yes. I'm probably not even going to argue with you on that at all, because I agree with you. The problem is that you can't say that Lukatsky was the UFO point guy, because nobody has said that. And on top of it, it wasn't him that chose the dirds. And if you think that it was, great. All I'm looking for is evidence. But no one has said that it was him. You had cited in your article that Elizondo was talking about Lukatsky. You had talked about Senator Harry Reid was talking about Lukatsky, but you have to admit those were assumptions. There's no quote where they name Lukatsky, right?
Dr. James Lukatsky is a DIA rocket scientist and a ufologist. Dr. Lukatsky's conclusions about UFOs cost him his job. Luis Elizondo knows that.
Did Elizondo go on the record and say Lukatsky
had said that certain senior government officials thought our collection of facts on UAP was dangerous to their philosophical beliefs? In fact, my AATIP predecessor's career was ruined because of misplaced fear by an elite few. Rather than accept the data as provided by a top-ranked rocket scientist, they decided the data was a threat to their belief systems and instead destroyed his career because of it.
Where did he say Lukatsky?
What do you mean?
Well, because according to Mr. Elizondo, ATIP and OSAP were two wildly different programs. So his predecessor on ATIP...
Well, when Harry Reid said that he had been visited by the PhD rocket scientist of the DIA, who do you think he was referring to?
But that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It does.
You know,
and again,
we can go out
in
the weeds on this, but I'm quite certain that Dr. Lukatsky was involved in AATIP. I'm quite certain that he went to Bigelow Aerospace. I'm quite certain he went to the Skinwalker Ranch.
That's fine, Tony. But where I'm going with this is I don't necessarily agree. If I can finish the sentence and the thought, I don't necessarily disagree with you. That's what I've been trying to say for 10 minutes. I don't necessarily think you're wrong, but you've jumped to too many conclusions on whether or not Lukatsky is truly the guy. And then on top of that, and I mean no offense, you're saying the wrong name. And on top of that, you don't even want to know.
Hold on a second.
You don't even want to deal with the guy who actually was involved on the Bigelow Aerospace side, who was in charge of all the dirds. Now, for the record, and that's fine. So let's move on. We don't have to keep beating the dead horse. Your headline, and I want you to explain that this one to me. Your headline when you had talked about Lukatsky was Pentagon's UFO debris study manager found, ET connection confirmed. Where is the ET connection confirmed?
I'm not following you.
Well, that's your headline. You wrote that.
Right.
Right?
Well, yes.
Okay, so where's the confirmation of ET?
I'm not understanding what you mean.
Okay, so you wrote this, sir. So ET connection confirmed tells
me... My name is Tony.
I'm sorry, I said sir. Is that an insult? Anyway, I apologize. Tony, I've grown up trying to show respect to people. But regardless, you wrote the connection, the headline, ET connection confirmed. You wrote that, not me.
Yeah.
So
yes, he
what
was
is
the study manager. Lukatsky was the study manager for both the AATIP as well as for UFO work. That is correct.
Great.
That is the connection.
Okay. No, ET. You said ET, extraterrestrial connection confirmed.
Well,
what
are we
confirmed?
Thinking that these are terrestrial materials?
Absolutely. They could be.
Okay. And that's where you and I differ. And this is where the central problem is. In some way, you believe that they were going to provide to me chemical and elemental analysis on unique materials. What they did is provide to me the applications of these materials. And that's why I want to initiate a lawsuit, because they did not reply to my FOIA request in the way that I had requested.
Okay, so
there
can
things
you
that are not included, and that's exactly why I wanted to move forward.
Because I want to make sure that I understand you. If you could, as quickly as you can, because I don't know how much more time I have allotted as 10 minutes.
We have about 7 or 8 minutes here.
Okay, so then let me rush through this then. What makes the metamaterial analysis alien?
Do you have a lot of time? I mean, this is so very deep that I don't even know where to begin.
I mean, you can summarize alien material. It has to be something.
The impetus of this material is alien inspired. It's not in and of itself alien, and this is where the problem is.
Okay, so where's the inspiration coming from?
John, we're talking about an event that happened 70 years ago. The folks that are involved in scientific work on this kind of thing weren't even born then. Over the decades, this kind of work has been blended into aero research and weaponry research, and artfully done. They've blended it in, so it's very, very difficult to separate the two. But when you look at the material that is referred to in and that was sent to me, we're talking about material that exactly matches that of UFOs. The ability to become invisible, the ability to morph, the ability to compress energy. All of these kind of things are UFO-like.
But that doesn't make it alien. What I'm looking for is the confirmation.
I'm not saying, John, see, this is the problem.
Where's the inspiration?
Said
you said inspired by.
I received elemental analysis or chemical analysis of alien material. That's evident. It's okay. So obvious. This is information gleaned from decades of work on material that was recovered. I don't know how more clear I can be about
it. So is this all because it's inspired by Roswell?
I'll make it very clear here.
Sure.
One of the reports received was about nitinol, sometimes called nitinol, shape memory alloys, very similar to the debris recovered at Roswell. I have actually created a table of 40 witnesses to memory metal found at Roswell, for them to then send back to me about 12 to 15 pages on shape memory alloy used in the human body as a biomaterial was more than curious. Why would they send me information about shape memory alloys and memory metal, much like found at Roswell?
Well, because that's responsive to your request, and it's
exactly
enough.
Exactly.
Okay, but I think you're
and
not
you do
allowing
know there's
me
a long history about memory metal, and that is a whole nother issue we could take another hour or even 3 hours about.
Well,
but as listeners know or may know, I have worked on the memory metal issue for years and years, and the fact that they sent back to me very advanced technical papers on using memory metal in the human system as a biomaterial was extraordinary.
Yeah, but I mean, and again, that's the root of all of this that you don't want to look at, which if Dr. Hal Puthoff truly had that intent when he brought up the topic,
Has no idea why he was working on this. Why would a man in 2021 know about material recovered in 1947? This is ET-inspired research that is done under the cover of aerospace and weapons research. These folks have no need to know about Roswell. They have no need to know whatsoever about the circumstances involving the recovery, how it was obtained, where it's been held. All of that is ancillary.
So in the last couple of minutes, just so I can, and again, I can urge you, I'll give you more time if you want it, but you're putting it.
We're going to have time on Wednesday. You'll tell folks about that.
Sure. That being said, I know your apparent disregard for Dr. Hal Puthoff, which is fine. The Pentagon, obviously, you're not siding with. But the man who headed the BAS has come out and said they never had any material. You're the one that wrote the headline about UFO debris. It sounds like you might be trying to shift that a little bit. Was saying that it's inspired by.
No.
Okay, so they had UFO debris as your claim. But really quickly, because I'm running out of time.
Absolutely, I 100%
okay,
believe
so they have
the
UFO
U.S. government
debris.
Has been in possession of UFO debris for at least 70 years.
Right, through OSAP, through these reports, is what you're saying. That was your headline.
I'm saying that the material received confirms this.
Okay, so we've already dealt with, like, I'm trying to get where the confirmation is, but we don't get it. But you're saying that Dr. Hal Puthoff, the Pentagon, who actually agreed with
his
striking...
I don't know about Hal Puthoff.
I understand that.
I requested information on UFO debris, and this is what I got.
Well, again, item number 5 didn't mention UFOs, but
I will not agree with you on that. I don't understand.
Which is fine.
That. We could talk about it for hours, probably.
So do you
Steve Kaminsky and the DIA full well knew I was requesting information on UFOs or UAPs and on debris. Everyone that has read the request, everyone that has read the reply agrees it's unambiguous, and that to say anything else is misinforming.
Well, I have to ask this question because I feel in situations like this, and I commend you for getting the documents. I have since day one. I think they're important to come out officially. I think they were misinterpreted. Do you think that there is a chance that you are misinterpreting? Kind of, I mean, you have the Roswell slides history.
No, I think
there.
It's so unambiguous. I was the fellow that talked to the DIA FOIA chief. I'm the one who heard his responses. He knew full well I was looking for UFO material. And John, you just don't, it's almost like we're talking past each other. Where in the world did I ever request information on weapons?
I haven't asked you about weapons.
I'm asking you directly. Where did I request information on advanced weaponry?
Okay. See, that's
can you answer that for me? Where is it that I requested
about
information
weapons, so no,
on
I don't
advanced
have to
weaponry?
Clarify. So you can ask the DIA that, but regardless, it was...
No, I'm asking you, because you've been reading all of the material more than anyone except me. You've really gone through it, and I commend you for having done that. Where have I ever mentioned the word weapons, weaponry, or advanced weapons program?
But where did I ask you about that?
Where is it?
If you can talk
do
about...
Do you see it?
If I could talk, I don't know. I mean, you want people to finish
I'm
sentence.
I'm waiting to hear from you.
If you allow me to, the OSAP original bid solicitation talked about advanced aerospace platforms, forward-looking program.
Where was my mention
Tony,
of weaponry?
Tony, you got to let other sides speak if you want them to answer a question. And I'm trying to answer it for you. Going back 30, 40 minutes ago when we started talking about OSAP, I was the one that brought up how confusing these naming mechanisms are, because really when you look at the description for OSAP, and it talks about advanced aerospace platforms and technology forward looking into the future by 40 years, that may or may not apply to weapons, but it sure didn't seem it was primarily about weapons. It seemed like it was primarily about aerospace research. Hence my concern, hold on, Tony, hence my concern, and has been for quite some time, that this had anything to do with UFOs in the first place. You keep dismissing Dr. Hal Puthoff, but to be honest with you, it actually may play a role. You guys might even find an intersection somewhere with you thinking that this is inspired by something. I'm not speaking for him, but the fact that you didn't even talk to him is kind of telling that you didn't want ultimately the whole truth. You keep talking about truth.
Oh my heavens, I would be careful there, John.
Then why haven't you talked to the guy who was in charge of it?
You just said
absolutely.
I didn't want the whole truth.
So why do you think that I talked to the Pentagon?
This Hal Puthoff guy. Listen, I don't know what you're referring to here. I'm talking about material that I received from the DIA, from Steven Kaminsky, and then the Pentagon backpedaling through their Pentagon spokesperson, Sue Goff.
Goff.
And I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. So that's all I can talk about, is what I received.
And all I know about is
what I asked for.
And I think that that's
my point. And I never asked
point.
About anything to do with weapons. I asked about UFOs.
I don't know why you're
I never asked for anything
weapons.
About advanced weapons programs per se. I asked for information on UFO debris. And when I received this material, it was with that understanding. It couldn't be more clear, and I am really perplexed how you can even defend or try to have people understand why they would provide to me this material and then backpedal and say it had nothing to do with UFOs when that's all I talked about.
Look,
it would be like going to a restaurant and asking for a turkey dinner and they give you a hot dog.
I that's the second time you've used your hot dog analogy.
Absolutely.
And that's all well and
I
good.
I don't know
but...
how better to say it. It's that obvious.
Okay, but
I asked for one thing and they give me something totally different.
Okay. So in the last couple minutes here, and again, I'll hang out with you if you wanted to give more time.
I'm unable to. We got a hard stop here in about a couple minutes as we've agreed.
Sure. So I've given you real world citable examples prior to this show. You have commented on my video and articles. I'm asking you about the FOIA request that I did to the Army asking for UFO-related material, and I got flying wing schematics from World War II and Nazi designs. My question to you here in the end is, why can't you acknowledge that in the FOIA, I call it exactly responsive or loosely responsive, that why can't you acknowledge that there is a chance that possibly this FOIA officer, the action officer, released something to you because he saw materials. It fits exactly to item number 5.
Why doesn't Steve Tominski then clarify and come forward and explain?
Because he doesn't speak for the agency and the FOIA doesn't allow for you or I to ask questions.
Excuse me, he doesn't allow him to respond?
That is correct. Because the spokesperson
That is incorrect.
Does.
He and I had many discussions over the FOIA request and his replies.
No. You're mishearing what I'm saying. When you're asking about clarification, the Pentagon, who is tasked to clarify something on that action, has. You've dismissed it. It's not the action officer's job. And I've dealt with that situation multiple times because when the final determination is made, it can then go either to an appeal, as you well know, or judicial review. At that moment, the action officer has to step back, and those that are tasked to respond will. In this particular situation, that would be Pentagon spokesperson Susan Goff. So you keep asking for clarification. Well, you have it. That was what they said.
I do not have it. That is not true.
Well, Susan Goff is speaking
on... Susan Goff has refused repeatedly to talk to me, to answer my emails, and instead has left me out to hang.
If you're threatening lawsuits everywhere, Tony, I don't blame her.
Wait a minute now. The word threaten. What is threatening about a lawsuit?
When you
They're
threaten
very
a
common
lawsuit,
in FOIA.
It's an expression.
I'm sure you filed some yourself.
Okay. Like I said earlier in the show, I said there's...
Threatening. You and I view these guys... in a totally different way, John. And again, I have to go back to the fact that I'm involved in research
again?
And journalism. You're an archivist. You depend on a relationship with them to provide to you these FOIA dumps, and you wouldn't do what I do. You wouldn't contradict them. I can tell by the way you're talking. You wouldn't do it.
Then you know nothing about me. No offense.
Well,
but
I guess not, because...
do you know how I've spent almost 25 years showing how public statements and public documents and FOIA responses, a lot have been lies?
You know, John, I just got to tell you that in the people that I've talked to and the information I've received from other folks, they cannot understand how anyone could see this any differently. It is so evident that and the request was so specific...
Okay.
It probably is one of the best FOIA requests ever written.
I,
it is so very clear, and you agreed. His responses were clear.
You really want to go on the record
and say
it's
your best FOIA request ever written? And then for her to backpedal and say it had to do with weapons, and then for her to not even respond to me or to clarify and leave me out to hang is so obvious.
Uh-huh.
The only person it's not obvious to is you.
So why aren't you on 60 Minutes or Fox News or CNN?
I'll tell you about that.
Please.
Wait, I really do have to go here. Your... a video or a show that you did, The Nails in the Coffin, there's no doubt that mainstream media often consults the Black Vault for information related to UFOs and FOIA. When they saw that video, and again, I want your listeners to know that you didn't even bother to contact me before you released it.
I already explained
when
why.
Mainstream media saw the video,
and
John,
here you are on my show.
When they saw the video, it's evident that they didn't want to pursue it any further, and you've done a disservice to me and to others by having sent out that video and the nasty things that have been said. Resulted from that video, and they walked away from it. Yes, I did receive headlines, but they were from the Daily Mail and from, many, many newspapers around the world. Would I have preferred to have been on 60 Minutes or Tucker Carlson? Yes. But I do believe that your putting up that video may have prevented that from happening.
I don't have that much power, but I appreciate
you
the,
don't. You don't, but they.
Well, you're accusing me of being a stooge.
And they see what you've put out, and when they see it, then they turn off from it, and that's been a disservice. Well, I can give you another example. There's a YouTube channel called Fake or Fiction or Fact and Fiction, a gentleman whose name I can't remember, and he had a YouTube on this FOIA, and he refers people to you and to your FOIA.
Oh, you're talking about Bill's channel.
Video.
Yes, and hello to all the Bill's Channel's viewers. I really appreciate
Bill's your channel. Thank you, Bill's channel.
So
great
here's...
channel. I love you guys. I wish that Bill didn't do that, because he just referred people over to John, and there's an example, a great example, where they see your video and they don't hear from me and my reply.
Well, what are you doing
I'm
now?
I'm left to hang.
Okay, well, look, because I know
you
I'm,
know what I'm talking about, John.
No, I don't.
And I don't mean to embarrass you in front of your viewers, but you know that that is what happened.
Okay, well, you're not embarrassing me. I'm starting to think you're not listening to what I've said. I already explained why I didn't invite you on. You published everything. When I learned that there was more...
That makes
more,
no sense. It's belied by the fact that you have me on now.
You published everything.
I mean, if you felt that all the answers were there, why do you have me on now?
Because you came out with more information, Tony.
Exactly. As people know, mine are continuing investigations. My Battelle investigation is going on in its 17th year. I mean, these are things that continue and continue, and for you to immediately hop on it and put out that video did a disservice to ufology.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you say that, but like I said, I backed my stuff up with evidence, and I can't even get you to agree with it.
But we should have had this conversation, John,
put
out that
that's
video.
Fine.
And
you've
I think
had,
readers now understand that.
You've
that
had well
you
over...
Really, or rather, viewers understand that a real journalist, a professional, would have contacted me
we're
first.
We're going to start insulting now?
And then put out the video, not the other way around, where you put out a video, a damning video, and not consult me, and then later ask me to come on.
But nothing you've
and
provided
folks, that is
has
the way
negated
that it went down.
Them. There's nothing that has come forward that has negated what I originally put out, and I stand by it. I don't change anything.
But it doesn't matter, John.
No, it does.
A professional would have contacted the individual they are going to talk about first. I'm not that difficult to get a hold of. You and I share similar connections and contacts. I have an email on my website. The least you could have done was to contact me first before you did the video. I would have done that for you. I do that in all my research.
My
you
video is all
Kevin
about
Randall
the FOIA request and response.
In fact, he and I have worked on many cases together where we act in the best interest and we try and get the other side of the story before we release a video like that. And now I think you understand why I am angry.
Well, I'm sorry that you're angry. You shouldn't get that worked up over it. I don't have that
I shouldn't get that worked up over
Tony,
it.
Can I talk on my own show, or is that a... Is
yes,
that a,
you can.
Okay, so you can get as angry as you'd like. What my video was about your FOIA request and response, which you published in full. That's all I was talking about. And I even cited other parts of your article and said, I'm not going to go into that. Why? Because I wasn't going to start nitpicking all the errors that you had. And I'm sorry, there were quite a few. But my whole intent with that video was to talk about the FOIA responses and these exaggerated headlines. When you submitted or sent out, whatever you want to call it, your second article, I then, extended an invitation to you because I
thought... No, the third article. It took three articles for you to do that, John.
Regardless, okay, I sent the invitation.
And this is my point. That anybody who does an investigation tries to get both sides of the story before they release anything. That's just good business. That's professional.
And yet here you are,
and you were not being business. Like, you were not being professional. You could have gotten a hold of me, and instead... You didn't, and it caused some issues because, yes, mainstream media now is avoiding this story in large part
because there's no evidence.
They're viewing your video.
There's no... I'm sorry, Tony. There's just no evidence. There's not. And if there was...
There's no evidence of what, John?
What you're...
You put out
what
a video that was
claiming.
Damning?
I asked you...
You didn't even consult me on beforehand?
I don't need to. You published everything.
Ever.
Okay, but when you put stuff out, I decided to give you a chance. There was a
three
as
three
you
articles
well,
in
as you And nothing that you've produced has showed me anything. I asked you to clarify your headline, and you gave me crickets there for a little bit.
And
haven't told me, you haven't told me what
you can interpret
ET confirmation.
Crickets, John, I mean, listen, you want to characterize every little tiny thing, which you tend to do. I won't go into some of the other comments in the video, which had absolutely nothing to do whatsoever, including visuals I had in the articles.
Yeah, it's misleading.
I'm not quite understanding that at all.
And I'm not
anyway, folks,
felt
I have to get going. I have a kind of a hard stop here because I have a business. But John and I will be talking on Kevin Randall's radio show on Wednesday, and we're going to pick up here, and John will let you know more about that.
Yep, and that's it. Tony, as I said in the beginning of the show, I do appreciate you taking the time. I know it gets heated because we won't agree on everything here, but I do admire those who will have the conversation nonetheless. So thank you for that.
And thank you all. I appreciate it, John, and I really look forward to talking to you again on Wednesday. And really, again, appreciate it so very much.
Anytime. And thank you all for listening and watching. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off. We'll see you next time.